You have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel chapter, Lamentations, right before the book of Daniel. Ezekiel chapter number 27. Still hear those pages turning, so I'll give you a few more seconds. Ezekiel chapter 37. We'll begin reading in verse number 1 and read down to verse number 10. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Verse 9, then he said unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breathe, and O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the word of God. We want to thank you tonight, Father, for what we already experienced in your house. And Father, we want to thank you tonight. We can call upon your name and pray to the one that's still on the throne. Father, as Brother Bill already said, I'm glad you see our hearts and the cries of our hearts and the needs that are deep inside. God, and I pray that you'd meet those needs this hour according to your riches by your Son, Jesus Christ, for his honor and for his glory. Lord, I pray now the next few moments you'd speak to our hearts. Father, you would give us a burden. And Father, let the word of God fall on fertile ground, on soft hearts. Father, let us be receptive and not only hearers of the word, but doers. And we'll thank you for it. Father, we will ask you that you'd visit and manifest yourself in our presence tonight. We'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 through 10. We see in our text that Ezekiel, he was a priest. However, he never got to fulfill that role as a priest, that role in the office. He was a young man that was taken captive into Babylonian rule. We know that Ezekiel, we know Daniel and Jeremiah were contemporaries of each other. They all prophesied during the same rule and during the same time there in captivity. Jeremiah, he was an old man and he was speaking and preaching and prophesying to those remnants left in Israel, left in Jerusalem. And Daniel, you know the story of Daniel. He was a younger man who spoke in the courts of the king, in the courts of Nebuchadnezzar, and purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And we see Ezekiel tonight spoke to those captives down by the rivers of Babylon, those that were captive and in captivity. And Ezekiel, in many ways, he spoke and he preached and he prophesied in some of the darkest times of the nation of Israel. Though there were false prophets in Ezekiel's day, and they were proclaiming and they were saying that they would go back to the city of Jerusalem, that they would return to the city and the city would not be destroyed. Yet Ezekiel had to stand and proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord." The people would not listen to his message. They turned their ear to the word of God, to the preaching of God. So Ezekiel resorted to a new method. Instead of speaking in parables and preaching in parables, Ezekiel began to act out the parables by God's command. Some of the greatest visions, the greatest messages we read in the word of God are given to this great prophet, Ezekiel. Tonight I'd like to look at one of those and see here in Ezekiel chapter number 37 what my Bible is entitled, The Valley of Dry Bones. I want to see number one in this valley of dry bones, the meaning of this valley, the meaning of these dry bones. So as we read Ezekiel chapter 37, we must realize that it's speaking of the future restoration, the future resurrection of the nation of Israel, a resurrection, a restoration in their national identity and of a spiritual revival that was going to come. Please note that this text is speaking to, it's speaking about God's children, the nation of Israel. Ezekiel warned the people that if they would turn back to God, and when they would turn back to God, then God would bring them back to Jerusalem and he would bring them back into their land. However, I would like to look at this text tonight and see and use this text as an application to our lives, an application to our family, an application to our church here at Fletcher. How can this text mirror? How can the Word of God tonight be applied to our lives in chapter 37? You see, Ezekiel was talking to his people, the nation of Israel. But I believe tonight the Word of God wants to help us as a congregation here in Fletcher. Ezekiel says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O ye dry bones." I don't know about you tonight, but I've gone through some dry times in my life. I've gone through some dry valleys, some dead places, despondent times in my life. You too, like me, may be on the little dry side tonight. And the Lord brings Ezekiel to a valley. He brings him to this plain that's full of dry bones. Not just any kind of bones, but in verse 3, the Bible says, "Very dry bones and very many." The floor of this valley, there was multitudes. There were many dry bones laying there. Once had life, once had breath, once stood upright, but now very very dry. The lives that these bones represent, I see, were not only dead, but they were lives of disgrace. Israel in that time, I told as I was reading this text, that if they would take a corpse, a dead body, and it was not buried properly or only half covered or some of the remains were exposed, it would be considered a disgrace to that person. Ezekiel, he looks in this valley. He sees this plain. He sees bones lying everywhere, dry, dead, once had life, but now had no use. Look in verse number 2. The Bible says, "And he caused me to pass them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry, exceedingly dry." I know these bones. I see these bones. They are remains of what life used to be. You see, if these bones never had life, it would not leave dry bones. These bones that Ezekiel encounters, they were once part of a living organism, a living body, a living human, alive and full of meaning. They were once upright. Now they were lying scattered on the ground. They were once were vibrant and full of purpose and full of meaning, but now they were there, dead and dry. What a sad sight this must have been for Ezekiel. What a depressing sight, a valley full of dry bones, a valley of dead bones, a valley of no life to be seen. Then God does something usual. He asked Ezekiel a question. In verse number 3, he says, "And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live?" He asked him an unusual question. Can these bones live? once that had life and once that were vibrant and had meaning and they were identified with being my people, can these bones live again? I began to think about Jairus, how Jairus came to Jesus and all of his heartbreak and all of his sadness, and he asked our Savior to come to his house that his daughter was dead. And they came to Jairus and Jesus, and they said, there's no need to bother the master anymore, for she is dead. But Jesus, in all of his power and all of his glory and all of his majesty, he takes that young girl by the hand and he says, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And the Bible says the damsel immediately arose. You see, there was hope. There was hope that God and Jesus could bring her up because she had only been dead for just a few moments. Jesus comes to a city of Nain. There, as he enters the gates of the city, he notices a funeral procession. They come carrying a young man that was dead, carrying him, and he sees the mother, and the Bible says has compassion upon her. He touches that coffin. He touches that one, and he says to this young man, he said, young man, I say unto thee, rise. And the Bible says, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak. You see, there was hope that Jesus could do such a thing because this young man had only been dead for a few hours. Mary and Martha cry. They say, send for Jesus. Our brother Lazarus is about to die. He comes to Bethany. There, Lazarus is buried in the tomb for 4 days. As he makes his way to the tomb, our Savior makes his way and he cries with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says he that was dead came forth. You see, there was still hope because Lazarus had only been dead for a few days. Jairus' daughter, a few moments. The widow of Nain's son, a few hours. We see Lazarus a few days. But now in our text, these bones were dead. These bones were dry. They hadn't seen life for a very, very long time. And Jesus asked the question, can these bones live? Ezekiel has no hope. Notice where Ezekiel puts his hope. Tonight, many of us, myself and maybe you, may be dry and parched. We may have grown cold and complacent, calloused to our God, our Savior, hardened in our Baptist churches, may not be alive and vibrant like they once. Our young people may be following the way of the world and carnality may be creeping into the churches, and God's asking us the same question. Can we live again? Can we stand strong again? I have no hope in myself, just as Ezekiel didn't. I have no hope in our church programs or our church ministries, but I'm placing my hope and my confidence in Jesus Christ. He asked, he says, can these bones live again? Here's his answer. O Lord, thou knowest. Will God send revival to Fletcher First Baptist Church? O God, thou knowest. Will Lord save the lost again and again and again? O Lord, thou knowest. Will he put our families back together and revival back in our hearts? O God, thou knowest. Will he add to the church? O Lord, thou knowest. I'm trusting, I'm hoping, I'm placing my faith, my expectations, my wanting, my desires in God and God alone. Can these bones live again? Will God send Fletcher revival? O God, thou knowest. The meaning of Ezekiel 37. I see number two, the message in the valley of dry bones. There's a message I believe that Ezekiel has to hear before God would restore these dead, dry bones. Before restoration, before resurrection of something that once was dead or once was alive but now is dead, before revival, there's a message to be heard. The Lord asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel left that matter with an all-power, almighty, all-sovereign God. Look at verse 4. He tells Ezekiel, and he gives Ezekiel something to do. He says, and he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. He tells Ezekiel in verse 4 to prophesy to these bones. In verse 9, he tells Ezekiel to prophesy unto the wind. I notice first, he's telling the prophet, before these bones live, before these bones come back to life and vibrant and stand as a strong and exceedingly great army, there's going to be some preaching. Then next, he prophesies to the wind. That signifies his praying. Here's the message. The preaching of the Word of God, it has its share in the work of revival, but I believe it's the praying which receives the results. He tells him to prophesy to the bones. He tells him to prophesy to the wind. We can do our best tonight, Pastor, to preach the Word of God. We can do our best, Brother Randy, to sing and exalt Christ. But church, it's your praying, it's your agonizing, it's your fasting, it's your desire that will cause the winds of heaven to blow through this place one more time. The message is in the preaching. The message is in the praying. I believe, number three, the message is in the promises of God. Verse 5. He says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Here it is. Behold. Take notice. Look at. Behold. I will cause breath to and enter into you, and ye shall live. Promises. He said, I will cause the breath, and ye shall live. You see, it's a promise of God. God's proved himself to us time and time again. I began to think about his proof. He's proved to us that he has compassion for us. God shows and demonstrates his love, his mercy, and his grace to us time and time again. God's proved his companionship to us. He's never left us. He's been with us all the steps of the way. The Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. God's proved his protection to us, the protecting hand of God, the guiding hand of God. He's directed us and pointed us and guided us to the promised land time and time again. I say number three, he's proved his provisions. He's provided for us, not only materially, but more importantly, spiritually. He's came to us and spoke to us and encouraged us. He's proved his answered prayers to us time and time again. We can stop tonight here and just praise God for his answered prayers time and time again. He's proved he's been faithful to us. He's proved he'll save. And these Old Testament saints that Ezekiel was preaching to, they were looking to the Messiah. They were looking to the Savior. They were looking to the promises and the hope of God. But now you and I, the New Testament church here at Fletcher First Baptist Church, we can look back and we can say God has been faithful. He has proved himself and he will prove himself time again. We can rely and we can trust and we can believe and we can put our faith and the hope our pastor preached about this morning that I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. The preachings, the praying, and the promises of God. There was a message that Ezekiel had to hear. There was a message these bones had to hear. But I see thirdly, there was a mystery in this valley. Look at verse 9. The Bible says, and he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe upon the slain that they may live. This wind. He talks about four winds and the breath. It's a mystery to me, this wind. The wind and the breath in our text, it's one word and it means spirit. I think about Nicodemus, that religious man. Nicodemus, that church member. Nicodemus, that one that knew about God, the church member that was lost. He did not understand what it meant to be born again. He said, how can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb? And Jesus made this statement. He said, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And here's the mystery. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. When God does decide to move, it's a mystery. When God does, the Holy Ghost decides to stir our hearts and to stir our souls and to stir our waters, it's a mystery. When God, the Holy Ghost, does come by and decide to blow life into that once was alive but now is dead, it's a mystery. Why would God sit down among us and breathe among those that are dead, among those that are dry? It's a mystery. And Jesus, he wanted Nicodemus to know that he didn't have to understand everything about being born again before he experienced it. You see, I don't know all about revival. I can't explain it, but I just want to experience it. I was saved 18 years ago. I don't understand that great transaction that took place. I don't know what it meant to all that God did before time and during the present time and the future. But all I know is where I was lost, now I'm saved. Where I was blind, now I see. I bless his name. I don't understand the mystery of God, but we can expect it. We can anticipate it. We can pray for it. It's a mystery. But I notice what happens before these bones come back together. Before these bones that once are scattered all around, lying in this valley, lying in this plain, there's something that happens in order. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, number one, there was a noise. Number two, and behold, a shaking. And number three, the bones came together, bone to his bone." I noticed first there was a noise, then a shaking of the bones, then an assembly of them coming back together. I began to think about this noise. This noise in our text, it means a sound. It has the idea of a proclamation. You say, "Preacher, how does that apply to our lives?" These bones were in the driest, the deadest place they'd ever been, scattered. No hope of life. Life that used to be, but now is no more. But suddenly, there was a noise. A noise comes from somewhere. A noise that is a proclaimed noise. A noise of a voice. A noise of a sound. I think the noise sounded something kind of like this. Praise God. Bless his name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see these bones? Like many of us, we say, "God, when you begin to put things back together, when you get me out of this storm, when you get me out of this situation, I'll stand and praise your name." But our text suggests before that ever happens, there was a noise. There was a praising. There was a worshiping. There was uplifting. There was exaltation. And then God began to move and shake and bring the bones back together. There was a mystery, a noise, a shaking, an exaltation in this valley. And I believe there'll be a noise when we begin to praise God and lift him and get his attention. He'll begin to stir and shake and send the revival winds one more time. I see the meaning of Ezekiel 37. There was a message in Ezekiel 37. I see also there was a manifestation in Ezekiel 37. What a sight this must have been. I mean, a sight. Imagine bones scattered all around, dead and dry, parched. No sign of life, once that used to be, but not anymore. Here's a bone, and there's a bone, and they're scattered all about. But after his preaching, after the praying, after the promises of God, after the praises of God, look at verse number 10. The Bible says, "So I prophesy as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army." In this valley of dry bones, there was no more death. In this valley of scattered bones, they were now standing upright. In this valley, they were no more dry, defeated bones. But I see that there was an exceedingly great army. As I came down from the educational building a few minutes ago, Becky, our secretary, had put up a bulletin, and it has a mirror and it has caution tape all around the bulletin, and it says, warning, warning, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Begin to think about our lives, our walk, our testimony, our church as a congregation. If they seen us and they had to examine us, would they say to us, now that is an exceedingly great army? Or would they say, that's just a valley of dry bones? I'm asking my Lord, I'm asking my Savior to manifest himself like he did to Ezekiel. And I began to think about all these books that are written on revival. And I heard a great evangelist say it one time, that there's many books and there is written and there's steps to revival, and they may be, but there's a lot of times in our text, in our Bible, that disprove those. I began to think about Jonah. Jonah, he was a backslidden preacher, a preacher that preached with a hardness of heart, with hatred in his heart. He had disobeyed God and he did not want to do God's work, yet God sent some of the greatest revival we ever see. And I don't know why God does what he does, but I believe in our text we see a few steps, but when these bones come together and revival comes back. Verse 7, so I prophesied. This is God's manifestation. I prophesied, verse 7, as I was commanded, and there was a noise. That's that praising. That's that thanking. That's that worshiping, that's that exalting that we have to do to give God his due. Number two, after the noise, behold, a shaking. I believe God, when he stirs those, sends that wind of revival, there'll be a shaking inside of our churches, a shaking inside of our lives, a desire, a longing, a yearning. Number three, after this praise, after this noise, after this shaking, we see the bones came together. I believe before, Pastor, we see a good revival of Fletcher, for God shakes this place and revives us again one more time, there's going to be a bringing together. There's going to be a unity. There's going to be a one heart, one accord, one mind. Then we see the sinews, verse number 8. And it said, when I beheld, lo, the sinews of flesh came upon them. God will begin to put things in place, people in place. He'll begin to put those things back together that we were lacking. Then he goes on to say the skins. In verse number 8, skins covered them above. There'll be a covering of our sins, a covering by the blood of Jesus. When there's nothing between us and God, nothing between our Lord and Savior, all is clean. And then lastly, in verse number 8, he goes on to say, but there was no breath in them. There'll be a waiting. We can wait. We can say, God, we're candidates. God, come. God, have your way. God, we're waiting. There's a manifestation. There was a meaning. There was a message. And there was a mystery in these valley of dry bones. I think the Lord placed it on my heart to tell this great congregation, this good church, the Lord wants to send revival here to Fletcher. He wants to do it one more time for his honor and glory. We just need to wait on him. We need to praise him. We need to exalt him. If there's sin in our lives, we need to come to this altar and get it under the blood. We need to have a one mind, one accord, and one unity to see the edification of the church, and then the mystery of God, the revival winds, the Spirit of God will blow through this place. Let's stand tonight. Misty, if you'll come and sing something on your heart. Maybe you want to join me in this altar. Ask God to revive us again. Ask God to breathe life into those things that once were alive and now it's dead. Whatever your need is tonight, this altar's open.